In a world filled with spyware, ransomware, phish, and more, we need you to be the hero. In this podcast, Information Protection and Security is bringing you ways to fight back against the dangerous actors looking to do digital and physical harm. We'll give you everything you need to know on a different topic of risk every month. Coming to you from IPS with Love.
Welcome. This month, we're talking about travel, where lost luggage and delayed planes are the least of your problems because of the rise in cyber travel scams. I'm Lisa Waddle.
And I'm John Nekrasov. And like Lisa said, we'll be talking about how to keep your summer trips digitally safe this year. But first, we're going to hear an interview with HCA Healthcare's Threat Intelligence Services Manager, Ricky Angelov, on a growing phishing attack that you need to look out for.
Today, I'm talking with Ricky Angelov, and he's Manager of Threat Intelligence Services here at HCA. Welcome, Ricky.
Thank you for having me.
So today, we want to talk a bit about a threat that you've seen increasing in the form of using ClickFix scams to access networks. Mm-hmm. So explain to us what ClickFix means.
Yeah, so ClickFix is a browser-based social engineering technique that threat actors are currently leveraging heavily. It's designed to trick users into copying and pasting malicious code onto their machine, which then pulls down malware and infects that machine. And we're currently seeing two venues of delivery. One is through phishing, and then the other one is through either malicious or compromised websites.
Okay. So tell me what these would look like. You get an email, and it says, you know, you've got an error, right? Mm-hmm. There's an IT error.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different variants that we're seeing being leveraged heavily. One of them is the CAPTCHA one. So essentially, you would visit a domain, and that you'll get a pop-up inside your browser, and it's going to say, verify that you are a real human. And then it's going to have some instructions. And those instructions essentially are going to guide you into, you know, copying and pasting code and, you know, essentially into your machine and then downloading that malicious software.
And we're used to seeing that a lot. You know, we're used to seeing, like, pick out the buses, mark the squares that have a bus in it, or copy and paste this, type this in to prove you're not a robot. So it's really taking advantage of the fact that we've really all seen those, right?
Yeah, it's taking advantage of something that we already know, but it is very different because it's actually having you copy and paste code on your machine. You would, no IT department, no person, no company would ever ask you to do that. And then you kind of touched on the other one that we're seeing quite a bit is the error messages. So you essentially land on, you know, that compromised website or whatever it is. You have a pop-up come up and say, error, you cannot access this particular website until you do these actions. And it's going to be essentially the same. Copy this code and get on your machine. Yeah.
And they often go the update route, right? Your browser is out of date. Click here to update.
That's one as well. That's actually an older one. That's where all started, and now they've kind of morphed into the CAPTCHA and some of the error ones as well. Yeah.
So why are these proving so successful?
They're successful. I mean, just like any social engineering, you know, out there, the same as phishing. There's usually some kind of, you know, something happened. Respond to it right away. They try to, you know, induce panic, and then in a lot of these, they usually try to bring up some kind of an error that you can potentially resolve yourself. So users are like, oh, I don't have to engage IT. I don't have to engage these other people. Let me just click on here and just resolve it myself. And yeah.
Sure. I mean, I think that is the kind of, oh, if I don't have to get on, call someone on the help desk or wait a while, I need to keep moving. I'm in the middle of something usually. So I do want to just fix it myself.
Exactly.
I get that. Well, but I think you mentioned something that is the biggest red flag is no IT department will ever ask you to cut and paste code.
Correct.
So you see that, your head should be saying that's a red flag. That's a scam.
100%.
Okay. And same with the CAPTCHA stuff. I mean, like we said, we see CAPTCHA in legitimate ways, but it would never, and it might involve those pictures, right? Verifying pictures, but it shouldn't involve code or commands into your computer.
Yeah, no code, no commands, no PowerShell. You should not be copying and pasting anything from, you know, those pop-ups to your machine.
Okay. And I mean, let's talk about the consequences. Once, if someone were to do that, is that that's then giving access to these criminals to your computer and the network, right?
Correct. Yeah. Once you click through the steps, you copy and paste that particular code. That code would reach out to a malicious domain and essentially pull down malware onto that machine and then infect it. Yeah. And from there on out, they pretty much have hands on keyboard on that machine.
Wow. I mean, and one of the tricky things about that too is that it is so relying on human nature, right? Mm-hmm. Urgency, as you said, wanting to help yourself. But also it's getting around a lot of technical blocks, right? Because you're doing it to yourself. Mm-hmm. You're copying and pasting rather than someone trying to sneak it in. I mean, they're sneaking it in, but you're actually putting in the command, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, good advice. Thanks so much for being with us, Ricky.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, welcome back, everyone. And thanks, Ricky, for joining us. The ClickFix scams that Ricky talked about are having an impact in a surprising range of areas. It's kind of like I've been seeing it all over the news, and it's been kind of scary, honestly. But one is outshining literally all the other impact areas, and that's travel, actually.
That's right. And we're talking about Booking.com, which I did not realize is really one of the most visited travel and tourism websites worldwide. Last year alone, they made $166 billion in gross travel bookings. That was up 10% over the previous year. But of course, criminals are noticing that as well. And Booking.com themselves reported that they've seen a 500 to 900% increase in travel scams in just the past 19 months. So a little worrisome. And if you use Booking.com or have a Booking.com reservation, you might want to pay attention.
Yeah. So we're going to talk through a lot of different things that you can, at a high level, a lot of different scams that you can watch out for when you're booking travel, when you are actually traveling. I think it made sense since we talked about ClickFix in your interview to talk a little bit more in depth about what you should look out for with Booking.com in particular, because it's actually... it's very in-depth. It's very involved. I remember reading about some Booking.com scams either last year or the year before where criminals were making just phishing pages, fake Booking.com pages that you would put your information into. And it would actually – it would look almost exactly like the real thing, but it would be a completely fake phishing site. But what we're seeing here is a whole new level of that scam where cyber criminals are targeting – affiliates of Booking.com, so businesses like hotels that work with that company, and they'll send them one of those ClickFix scam links. When the worker at that company then falls for the trap, they then have access to their systems, and the problem is they then can see everyone who is potentially booking through Booking.com with that hotel, for example.
Right. So if they send you an email and it has all of your details that you're planning to stay next month for two nights, right? Ocean view. Gee, that all sounds legitimate. That's all accurately what you got from Booking.com, right? But the scary thing is if they send you an email or maybe it's a text saying, you may need to confirm your payment, right? And so that's how they get your credit card number. And the problem is that you should never enter your credit card information, even though that it looks totally like Booking.com and legitimate, right?
Right. Well, and that's kind of where we come back to the guidance that we always talk about with phishing, which is that if you get an email from a site that's asking for payment information or verifying your information or things like that, it's always good practice to just go straight to the website and put it in there. Like you have the website saved and bookmarked in your browser. Just go directly there if you see that you have an outstanding payment instead of clicking on the email. Because you honestly just never know, because these scams are getting better and better and better.
Right.
And in this circumstance, like when you book a trip, say like you book flights, normally you go, you click, you book it through the website, then you get a confirmation email immediately afterward with your details, and you check through it and make sure that everything was correct. What they're doing is they can see, you know, up to date right when someone books, and then kind of intercept the system and send you a confirmation email like pretty quickly afterward. Mm. And that means that like even though you are even expecting the email to come, that still doesn't mean it's safe.
Well, right. Some of the emails I saw, you know, they obviously, like a lot of phishing emails, they prey on urgency, right? And they'll say, oh, we need you to confirm this or we will cancel your reservation. You know, or sometimes if you make a reservation months in advance and you can't remember if you got a confirmation, you know, sometimes I'll look through and I'll be like, I thought I got a confirmation already, but now they're asking me to reconfirm and I don't want to lose this reservation. So I better click here and I better re-enter my credit card number, right? But then once you do, then they have your information and they can charge you. And I think the scary thing is you might not even know until then you travel or you see your credit card bill, right, and see charges on it.
Right. And that kind of connects to one of the other big scam areas that we see pretty regularly, which is that with a smaller rental property, like something on Airbnb, if someone asks for an unusual method of payment, that also may be an indicator that it's a scam. Even if you don't get a fishy seeming email or anything like that, if you get a request for payment for a property through a wire transfer or through gift cards, even worse, or even worse, through cryptocurrency, all of those are indicators that something with that online reservation is not right. And the problem, obviously, when you're trying to book travel is that you're not there, right? You can't, you don't, you're not familiar with the businesses, you're not familiar with the people. And that means that you're just that much more at risk for losing your money.
Because maybe you think, oh, well, gift cards, okay, that's maybe the standard on this little island in Greece. That's what they do there. So you might convince yourself to go ahead and make this payment. And even, you know, we've talked about how with AI now, you really can't trust even videos. They could show you a video of the room, a video of the beach, could all be AI, right? Even there have been deep fakes of travel agents, right? You think you're talking to someone on a live chat or on a video, and those people don't exist, or those places don't exist. Super scary. And, you know, unfortunately, I think a lot of these scams prey on the fact that none of us like to make phone calls anymore. We never pick up our phones, really, right? And that's what we need to do. I think you need to make a call to the legitimate number, right, of the hotel to confirm and talk to somebody there. And then also just the thought of you have to be cynical, right? Suspect a scam until you've proven otherwise for yourself.
Right. And that's also why, like, you should be, in general, we always advise paying with credit card instead of debit card, just in general with most big transactions, because you can, it's actually like protected. And if there is fraud, like, you can get that money back since the credit card company is responsible for that money. But it's always important when you're making those payments for different things internationally, you know, check the cancellation and refund policies, read the fine print, and also just be aware that, like, wherever you're putting your financial information is a place that you're, you know, you're putting yourself at risk. And if you verify that that risk is okay, then great, go ahead. But you need to always kind of be thinking with that risk-based mindset of asking myself, like, what's the worst thing that could happen? Have I properly paid attention to every possible thing that could go wrong?
Right. I mean, that's true. And you know, booking travel and thinking about travel can be fun. It is fun. It's supposed to be fun. And I think that's what criminals take advantage of, right? Maybe a lot of your other guards that you have up, like when you're banking or doing other serious things, those guards come down a little bit. But yeah, you know, you can definitely protect yourself when you, if you enter a credit card number, then check your credit card statement. You know, you can then lock your credit card. There are safety measures you can take if you fall in for one of these. But you have to be aware and not buy a gift card or do things that are irreversible, right?
Right. It always goes back to sort of the principle when we're trying to engage in something fun, you know, look for what is too good to be true. I always think about those, like, standard, like, this is your captain speaking, cruise ship calls that are like scam calls. They will call you. Sometimes there's actually a real cruise that they're advertising, but almost invariably it's like a really cheap or free thing that's like, you know, a rubber boat going down the Amazon and not the cruise ship that it was advocating for.
Right.
And so like even if there are some legit things tied to the scam or whoever's targeting you with this sort of ad campaign or phishing campaign, it's always just important to keep an eye out and verify and just ask yourself, like, is this something that I can actually trust? And if not, you know, it's better to just walk away sometimes.
That's right. So yeah, that goes for unsolicited emails you get, things you see on social media, whether it's an ad or a post that will say, hey, we can get you TSA PreCheck or TSA Clear. You know, we can get it faster for you, cheaper, that kind of thing. Those can often be scams. And like you say, if it's too good to be true. I mean, if it was cheaper or free, wouldn't everybody be doing it? So you're not part of some exclusive club.
Right.
So we need to watch out for those.
Right. And just a last note, if you are traveling and you need Wi-Fi and you're on public Wi-Fi, don't enter your financial details into anything, because those are unsecure. Like if you're in the airport and you're on the airport Wi-Fi, don't even open your banking app because it is a risk and those signals are going through the unprotected Wi-Fi and that can put your information at risk.
Really good points. Yeah. So be cynical, be careful, and then you can ensure you're going to have a good trip.
Well, thanks for watching and listening on Media Connect and all other major podcast platforms. Subscribe for monthly episodes of From IPS with Love to get much more information on cybersecurity and the dangers of the information security world.